We might pray for Israel real quick, because Trump's got a big armada over there getting ready to deal with Iran. And the Khomeini is a psychopath, and you don't know what he might do, but he's vicious. So, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over Israel. We pray for peace in Jerusalem. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to protect your people as we go through this time that this world is going through, as you sort things out. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that Jerusalem will be kept safe. In Jesus' name. Has anybody been paying attention to the world news? Remember, Trump has a board of peace that he's put together in the Middle East. And I couldn't get my mind wrapped around why he didn't have Israel on that board of peace. Now they have put Israel on that board of peace. So that's significant. But if they mention anything about a 7-year peace agreement, buckle down, because that's biblical. Because the way things are going, we're really, really close. We're just going to have to watch and watch. And really, really pay attention to what's going on in Mexico right now. But that's the weeding out. There's a lot of evil people getting taken out of the way. You know, with these Epstein files getting released and the amount of people that are stepping down from multi-million-dollar positions is just absolutely amazing. I mean, and it's all the way up to Prince Andrew. It doesn't seem like anybody is immune to what's happening. God is cleaning up this world right before our eyes. We'll just have to see how it all works out. But the Bible does talk about a new earth. That'd be a wonderful place to be, wouldn't it? I want to open your Bibles up to John chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said of his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided it unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance and with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have his belly filled, with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this thy son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called out one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. You know, I wonder how many times I got to read some of these scriptures before I finally see it all. But I, Luke chapter 15, verse 11. I'm sorry. I got Matthew on my mind. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Anyway, it's the prodigal son. But, you know, we got two different trains of thought here. We got one son that took his inheritance and went and wasted it, and another son that didn't use his inheritance. And the oldest son was mad because the younger son had a party when he got home. But did you see this? Verse 11 says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them. He divided unto them his living. So the youngest son took his. He took his. He squandered it. But he took it. The oldest son, it was given to him, and he didn't use it. I wonder how many Christians we have today that live like that. They don't go to the table. You know, the Bible tells us that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You know, some of them just don't even go to the table. And some of them, they go to the table and they try to be humble and get a slice of bread. Basically, you know, they say, I just need enough to get by. No, that's not the idea. He wants you to have more than enough. See? The church is not a lot different than the prodigal son and his brother. You know, some people get blessed and they waste it. Some people get blessed and they don't use it at all. You know, the Bible tells us that God has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. He's given us everything. See, Abraham, he was the possessor of heaven and earth, and according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, says, if you're Christ and you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, so you're heirs to what Abraham had. You are heirs. Because you belong to Christ. You're the seed of Abraham. But now we have some people that just don't belly up to the table, they don't use any of their inheritance. Now sometimes they don't know about it. You know, that's why it's so important for you to read the Bible for yourself. And you should never, ever trust a preacher to discern the Bible for you. Because here's what happens. Here's what happens. A lot of preachers go to these conferences. They belong to these conferences, these different, whatever they may call these ruling bodies. And these ruling bodies decide for them what they're going to believe. And so that's their doctrine. And they learn their doctrine and they don't falter from their doctrine because they don't want to lose their job. So then there are people that are sitting in church that never hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are people sitting in church that never hear about healing. There are people sitting in church that never hear about salvation. See how dangerous it is to not read the Bible for yourself? See, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will bring all things to remembrance, but we have to put something in there for Him to bring to remembrance to us. See, if we don't put it in there, He doesn't have anything to work with, or very little. The only way you're going to have the witness of the Holy Spirit is, number one, to get born again, and then get His Word in there so He can have an intelligent conversation with you. I know when I was first starting to learn some of this stuff, the first time I heard God's voice, he just said no. And I knew it was Him. And He said no. And because I knew what I was about to do, and He said no. So I went running up to my pastor friend and I said, I think I heard God's voice. And he said, what did He say? No. And he said, don't do it. But I didn't have much word in me at that time. So He couldn't really converse with me very much. After a while, feeding on His word, then He got where He could have a conversation with me. Which leads us to Matthew. Now we can go to Matthew. Now we can go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, I've heard all kinds of ideas about this mustard seed of faith. You know, the mustard seed is just a little tiny, tiny, tiny seed. But when that seed is planted, it can grow into a tree where even birds can nest in the tree. But a lot of people use that mustard seed as an excuse to not do anything. But I have a different angle, a different approach for you on this mustard seed of faith. Just a little bit is all it takes to get God's attention. See, like the prodigal son, he was feeding pigs, and he was starving. And he said, you know, if I just go to my father. And it says that the father seen him afar off. He was waiting for him to take a step of faith. He was waiting for him to come home. And when he seen him, he ran out there, and he restored him to his original state. You know, he came home filthy and hungry, and he got a special robe put on him, and he got sandals put on him, and he got a ring put on him, and they killed the fatted calf. Now, his brother was mad. There's a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people in churches get mad at Christians that didn't seem to live the way they thought that they should live to this certain standard they had, and they made a lot of mistakes, and they'd get blessed. And these people would get mad at him. And then what they didn't see is that guy was using the little bit of faith he had. He was using faith, and he took his little bit of faith, and he turned to God, and God blessed him. I've seen people that have been sitting in churches for 30 years, and to get them to take a step of faith was hard. And I don't know why, but I've seen people that just got born again, seems like they can just receive from God. It's amazing how fast they can receive from God. And then they start growing, and they just keep building their faith, and they keep growing, and pretty soon they're passing up some of these people that have been sitting in church for a long time. And I think it's the conditioning sometimes. Sometimes a lot of people, if they've been in certain denominational situations, there's these strongholds that get built up in their minds. And I've dealt with these strongholds. I've actually had to do deliverance on a guy one time. He had a stronghold in his mind. I said, "You want to get born again?" He said, "I want to get born again." But every time I start to move my mouth, my tongue freezes up and I can't say anything. And I thought, well, that's a demon. He had a stronghold. So I cast that thing out. He got born again. Then he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That fast. And he was speaking in tongues, laughing and crying, having a good time. Now, if somebody gets taught something and they just get bombarded with it all the time, even if it's a lie, but they hear it enough, they'll receive it as the truth. So we have people sitting in churches that say that they don't believe in healing because that went away when Jesus went away. They don't believe in miracles because that went away when Jesus went away. Jesus didn't go away. He sent his Holy Spirit here. He's here. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three of them are one. He's here. And he's still doing miracles. But if you get taught something long enough, you're going to have that stronghold in your mind. And it's going to take some work to get out of that. But just a little bit of faith. You look that way towards God, and he's going to set you free. He will get you there. He will get you there. We just have to point our nose to God and go. You know, the people that acted in faith toward Jesus, they seemed to, when they got their miracles, they came to him. Some of them came to him in a self-righteous attitude. Some of them would call him rabbi. Some of them would call him this or that. And they didn't have any business calling him that because they weren't even Jews, some of them. But when they finally humbled themselves, said, "Jesus, have mercy on me." Jesus would have mercy on them. They get healed. The woman whose daughter was in trouble, she was demon-possessed, and came to Jesus and asked him to heal her daughter. And he said, "I can't give the bread that's meant for the children to the dogs." But if you understand the tradition, they could have the crumbs. So she asked for that. She asked for mercy, and she got mercy, and her daughter got set free. Let's get back over here to Luke. Let's look at these two kids here again. See, the son, the oldest son, he was out there working in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. You know something? He was acting like he was a servant. This dude was walking around. He had sandals and a robe on, and he had a signet ring, and he's out working in the field. He didn't evidently receive what his father gave him. Now, one of the hardest things for people to do is learn how to sit by faith. And this is where your mustard seed of faith is going to come in. To sit by faith, you have to sit down. You're not working. You're sitting down. You're not working. You're sitting down. The only thing you can do is receive. See, all of the new creation realities, all we can do is receive them. We're righteous by faith. We can't earn that, can we? We have to receive that. We're sanctified by grace. We're justified by grace. We're saved by grace. We're healed by His stripes. All of these things are something that we couldn't earn, now is it? All we could do is receive it. Now, if your dad came up to you with $100 bill and said, "Here is $100 bill, I want you to go have a good time," would you say, "Well, let me go mow the yard first and earn that $100 bill? He said, "No, I just want you to have this. This is yours." And you would be absolutely foolish. He might even think you're an idiot and wonder how you became his son if you said, "No, I gotta go do something. I gotta go clean the chicken coop. I can't just take that $100. I gotta go earn it." He said, "No, it's a free gift. I want you to have it." "No, if I don't have blisters on my hands, then it's not mine." But we have a lot of church that acts like that. It acts like they have to earn something from God. And we can't. And then some people think they can. And that's even worse. God will be a debtor to no man. All we can do is receive from Him. That's our job, is to sit and receive. In fact, the Bible tells us that we have been seated in Christ. We're sitting down. We're seated in Christ. That's where we are, spiritually speaking. And a lot of people are running around trying to earn something from God. Like their own works are going to get it done. When Jesus said, "If you had just a mustard seed of faith, you can move a sycamore tree. You can move a mountain." Said, "Nothing shall be impossible unto you." But what we got to do is learn to let Him live through us. See, our lives are hid in Him. We need to allow Him to be God in our lives. That's what He wants. He wants to be our God. We have to allow Him to be God in our lives and let Him express Himself through us. And that's why He said in John chapter 14, verse 12, He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, those things that I do shall He do also, and even greater things shall you do, because I go unto my Father. If you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do." So that gives us the right directions right there. All we have to do is do the asking. So we're going to be believing. If we ask, we're going to believe. See, if we believe, we're going to ask. We're going to do what He says to do. You tell sickness to be gone. You tell demons to be gone. Whatever it is, you do it in the name of Jesus, and He does the doing. See, this frustrates a lot of religious people. When you pray for somebody and they get healed, they come up and they say, "You didn't heal that man." I said, "I know. I can't. I can't. Only Jesus can do that." That makes them even madder. Because you're agreeing with them, but you're supposed to be arguing with them. See, it's all about Him working through us. Whenever we get somebody born again, it's the Holy Spirit. You know, we got to witness to them. We did what Jesus said to do, witness to them. We told them about Jesus, told them about how they can be saved, and then they get born again. It wasn't us that got them saved. We prayed with them. We witnessed to them, but it was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that drew them to the cross in the first place. It was the Holy Spirit that did that special operation in their heart. It was Jesus that got on the cross for them. It was God that came up with the whole deal. And I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prayer warriors around the world may have been praying for that guy to get him in front of you at the right place at the right time. And then God used us, you know, see, God uses the simple things to confound the... He uses us, which is cool. Because we're not all that talented. I always wondered how God came up with some of these ideas for these preachers that He used. One guy in particular was a major drug lord in Colombia. And all of a sudden, his ranch got taken over. And he said they were in a taxi, and this guy was driving. And all of a sudden, he said they was going the wrong way. And this guy was ready to kill him. And anyway, everything got straightened out. They got him out of the country, and he got to America. And he said, "What is wrong with you?" He's talking to himself. Said, "You was ready to kill a guy just that fast." And he stumbled into somebody, and he got born again. And God turned him into a preacher up in Washington. And that city that he was in, they said that was the healthiest city in the state. And he got a revelation of this blood of Christ, and there was a lot of people that were coming in there and they were getting healed. God took him and turned him into a guy that He could operate miracles through. He took Jesse Duplantis. If you ever read his history, you'd wonder, man. Turned him into a powerful preacher in Kenneth Copeland. See, God took people out of some very bad groups. They weren't the pick of the litter. You know, David wasn't the pick of the litter. In fact, he was the last pick. You know, when the prophet went up there and said, "God wants me to anoint your son to be the king." And they said, "Yeah." So they did what tradition says, they brought the oldest son out. And said, "No, that ain't him." So they brought the next one. And they brought the next one. And they kept bringing them out. And the prophet said, "Is that all you got?" And he said, "Yeah, well, we got this one more. We got this Rudy boy. He's out there herding sheep. He's the runt of the litter. We'll bring him over here." And he brought him over there, and the prophet said, "That's the one." See, God doesn't look at things the way we look at things. The way we look at things has been, we have an abstract way of looking at things. You know, we have so many traditions floating through our minds. We have strongholds floating through our minds. We have these simple box methods. This is the way it's got to be. It's got to be the oldest son. God doesn't see things that way, but what he does see is a spark of faith. And when he sees a spark of faith, he gets involved in it. He likes to get involved with faith. He wants somebody to take a step in faith so he can get involved in it. Well, my pastor used to tell me, he said, you step out in your natural so he can put his super on your natural. That's the supernatural. You step out in faith. You get out there where you can't get it done so he can step in there and get it done for you. And then the only thing you can do is praise God, because he's the only one that could do it. Just like Peter was walking on water. And then he started sinking, but Jesus went out there. When Peter said, Jesus, save me, and he came out walking on water back to the boat. Peter stepped out in faith. He used the faith he had, and he got out there where he couldn't do it anymore, and then Jesus finished it with his faith. It's a whole lot better to use Jesus' faith. But we want to make sure we don't get preoccupied with our own faith. That was one of the big challenges the Word of Faith Circles has, is people get preoccupied with their own faith. And they kind of let the grace of Jesus slip away. See, when we get more preoccupied on Jesus, our faith will expand. But when we get our focus on Him, get it off of ourselves and get it on Him, faith comes a lot easier. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. And we thank you for taking care of us. Father, we thank you that all things work together for those who love you. And we know that whatever challenges we go through, you never leave us and you never forsake us. You're always right there with us. Even when we can't seem to see it, you're always with us and taking care of us and watching over us. You said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father, we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.